The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I was like, all right, that worked out.
I would say you won the trade.
Look, it was Jalen Milroe, man, and he was unbelievable, and I am so mad at myself. So for twofold, I think we're about to do what we got right, what we got wrong.
Yep.
So this is kind of coupling it together. I got wrong LSU. I assumed that they wouldn't be pantsed by a running quarterback again, and they were. And now the rain didn't help out LSU. But where I'm secondly annoyed is that you could do what's called a ladder in betting.
Mm-hmm.
So
was it a round robin?
At DraftKings, let's say you go to a DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever, they all have player props. And for Jalen Milroe, it was like 50 plus yards, 60 plus yards, 70 plus yards, 80 plus yards, 90 plus yards, all rushing. And it's called a ladder because you just bet them all, and you usually go less and less and less as you go up, but the odds go increasingly up and up and up, right? And Jalen Milroe obviously clears every rung of said ladder because he runs for 150 yards. His prop was like 57 yards.
Yeah.
And he rushed for 150 plus. So I was pretty mad at myself for not doing that. But what I got wrong was clearly with LSU. I thought LSU would cover the three. I thought they'd win the game outright. My buddy down there who does a radio show, who's pretty, I wouldn't say pessimistic, I would say realistic regarding LSU. And he was like, I love them this week. And I was like, okay, you're just validating my thought process too. And not the case. I mean, that was done in a hurry, and the only solace I had was having the split screens of Notre Dame winning by 49 and Brian Kelly getting his ass kicked. So that was the only positive to me losing that bet.
Yeah, what I got wrong. I mean, I told you the whole week. It's like I knew, like, instinctually, you know that it's an Ole Miss play, but like I did not think they were going to physically dominate Georgia in the way that they did. Like, it honestly looked like the team should have swapped jerseys. The game would have made more sense, I think.
The second one I got wrong was I really didn't think Bryson Daly from Army was going to play. Everything that I had heard.
I don't even want to talk about that one.
But you could throw that in the dumpster fire
that
of
one,
the week,
oh,
too.
God.
So North Texas, for those who did not see it, and this is why I think Army is also complete and utter frauds. Thanks for serving our country eventually, but you're not a top 25 program in football. Like, North Texas had the ball inside the 5-yard line 4 times and scored 3 points.
Yep.
They had a touchdown that was a touchdown, not called a touchdown. And Chandler Morris threw not one but 2 interceptions in the end zone. That was something. But yeah. I really thought Bryson Daly wasn't going to play. Everything that I had heard, even things were being kind of reported. I mean, the betting market told you that. And he played. He was okay. He wasn't great. But they got the win, and they're undefeated going into a bye week before they take on Notre Dame.
And then my most college football moment of the week, the final 3 minutes of Missouri-Oklahoma. Like, I don't even know. I said it on Twitter, like, I don't even know how I would describe it. Like, it was like peak, like, ineptitude, then with some, like, stud plays. Like, I give Pine credit. Like, he made two throws I did not think he could make. A third and 16 gets converted. Like, there were so many fireable offenses, yet, I mean, what was the stat? I think there was something like 17 points scored in the first 57 minutes and then like 28 scored in the final three. It was the most college football game I've ever seen.
I'm just double checking something real quick because that lands 53 and the total was 42. That's a pretty tough one. My most college football moment was going back to the Utah AD. You hinted at it. I'm going to read you the quotes.
Let's hear it.
This game was absolutely stolen from us. We were excited about being in the Big 12, but tonight I am not. We won this game. Someone else stole it from us. Very disappointed. I will talk to the commissioner. This was not fair to our team. I'm disgusted by the professionalism of the officiating crew tonight. That, ladies and gentlemen, the athletic director Mark Harlan for Utah following the 22-21 loss. Reading those quotes just makes you cringe.
He talked
how
to the,
soft that is.
He talked to the commissioner, all right.
Yeah, and you got $40,000 fine.
Uh-huh.
How you like them? How you like them apples?
How you like them apples? All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. Want to get into some of the NFL action we saw from the weekend, more from the world of sports, including a little Grizzlies update as well as the Tigers. We'll do all that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. It's never too early to start thinking about the big game. And this November, Zen Sports, the new sports book in Tennessee, has launched a brand new sweepstakes for all its Tennessee customers. It's the Big Game Sweepstakes, where you can win a grand prize of two tickets to the Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans or $10,000 cash. And what's more is that Zen Sports is also awarding 50 additional prizes, which will include two tickets to any Tennessee sporting event or $100 cash. If you want in on the action, here's how you do it. You can earn multiple entries every day by just betting on the Zen Sports app. For every bet you place, you'll earn one entry. And for every dollar you bet, earn an additional entry. And if you like parlays, earn double the entries on the every parlay play. So what are you waiting for? Download the Zen Sports app. And now, when you sign up using my referral code, JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you will receive a 25% odds boost when you sign up using the referral code JeffTN. Start betting with Zen Sports and get their app today. Zen Sports, betting just got better. If you got problem gambling, call 1-800-889-9789. Let's get into the list. Ja Morant. Yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies had a press release on Saturday revealing that Imaging showed that Morant had sustained a posterior hip subluxation, which is also, in layman's terms, apparently a partial dislocation of the hip, along with multiple associated grade 1 pelvic muscle strains. He is considered to be on a week-to-week time frame. So the first thing that came to mind was immediately you have to go search for Twitter docs. And Jeff Stotts, who I feel like he's become the pro football doc for the NBA. That's kind of the role that he has taken up. He makes note of this is not really an injury that you see very often in basketball. You see it more in the NFL. He used the example of Ryan Fitzpatrick, who ended up having to get surgery. I believe that was when he was playing for the Commanders, that he had to have surgery on that. I think the thing that was a little surprising to me was they're still designating it week to week. When you just read the injury, that feels like something that's probably more than week to week. But at the same time, they didn't use the, you know, he'll be out 3 weeks or be reevaluated in 3 or 4 weeks. They're treating it as that. But this does feel like, for the Grizzlies, other than maybe G.G. Jackson, who I don't believe we'll see till January, like, I don't think we're seeing Ja Morant for a while.
Yeah, this does not sound promising.
No.
Yeah, and it sucks because it's coming off of that Lakers game. He played really well, right?
And that's when he gets that. The first tip off for me that it was bad was he came out of the game, and even though the Grizzlies were leading at the point he came out in the game, that wasn't like if he were good enough to come back in, it made sense to me they would come back in, and he did it. So like that was kind of the first tell of like, all right, this is more than just. And I think that was the other aspect. It was reported on TV originally that it was a hamstring, which that this is a common thing. People think it was a hamstring. Then when they go and they look at imaging, whatnot, they see, hey, this is something else. I mean, I think the other thing for the Grizzlies is they handle the Wizards. Shout out to you.
Yes.
I think the under win total's back in play. They also
2-6, baby. Come on.
They absolutely mop the floor with the Trailblazers. The thing for me is, okay, can they compete with the top of the West being this limited in playing the back end of their roster? No, but the key is last year when they were having to play the back end of the roster because of Ja's suspension and the injuries, they were just fading into oblivion. They're maintaining position right now. Like, they're not giving up ground. They're, for the most part, beating the teams that they should beat. And as long as they keep doing that, none of these injuries are season ending. So if you can tread water long enough, like, I think that they're still going to be in position for the West. Because where it currently sits, they're currently sixth in the West, but other than, you know, they're sixth in the West, but they're only, you know, two games back of first. And you know what I mean? Like, so they're not like falling completely out of it.
They're not Bucks in it.
Correct.
What a disaster that is.
I mean, how much money does Doc survive this? Because I was thinking, what the Bucks could be paying, what, close to like 78? They could be paying a full Jimbo to two coaches.
And the irony is that Budenholzer is crushing it with Phoenix right now.
Yeah.
So,
although I think I've always said this, I think Giannis, because like he'll get up with like tell some dad jokes, I think he's quietly like one of the biggest coach assassins in the league.
You know, it's a fair point. I mean, to see Adrian Griffin get fired mid-season after Bud got fired a year removed from winning the title?
I think it was
2 years.
So they won the first full year.
Yeah, so they won the 20.
They won the 21 title.
Yeah.
Warriors won 22. Nuggies 23, and he got fired. So yeah, I think it was like a.
Yeah, he got fired after the 22 season, and they bring in Adrian Griffin. He gets fired midseason. Doc comes in, and it's been a nightmare. Kind of hilarious.
Yeah, boy.
I mean, I really like Giannis. You know, I think he's. I mean, he's a unicorn.
And you also understand why he has power in the organization. Like an organization like Milwaukee, when you get that kind of player, like you have to do what you can to keep him happy. But it always goes back to, man, the players usually aren't the best roster builders.
Yes. I think that is a fair way to put it.
let's do some NFL. All right. I know this is an overreaction, but I really do believe this. I think the Lions' Sunday night football win was their most impressive win of the year, because if they won a game playing that badly, like, you can survive. Like, that's the worst game Goff's played, I think, in 3 years.
It's the first time in over a decade that a team has thrown 5 interceptions and won the game.
Like, if you can survive that and still figure out a way to win the game, like, that to me implies, like, okay, you're on a different level than your competition. And I know the game changes when Tunsil got hurt because, like, there's a reason why all of a sudden Stroud was not able to move the football at all. But that to me was like, man, if they win that game, like, I thought that was even more impressive than the way that the Chiefs beat the Broncos.
I agree, because the Chiefs lost to the Broncos. Like, you don't block 35-yard field goals in the NFL. In college, yeah, every once in a while you'll see that. But
not even really anymore. Like, college kickers are more like just inclined to miss them.
I mean, certainly you could look at the late no call on the third down against for the Texans. But the fact that the Texans got shut out in the second half, yeah, I mean, you look at the NFC and, I mean, Detroit is no doubt the best team. I am a sucker for the Niners. I can't get over the Niners, so I'm still going to anticipate them to come back to win the division, even though those Cardinals, first place right now, betting favorites to win the NFC West. Philadelphia's getting better, too. Big one on Thursday night against Washington. But, yeah, Detroit's the best team in that division, man. By the way, have you looked at the remaining strength of schedule for the Chicago Bears?
Well, they haven't even, I don't think they've played a team in the NFC North yet.
So, Tankathon.
By the way, statement loss from my Giants.
Yeah.
That's stating your purpose of, hey, buddy, we're coming for it.
Man, that was something. The Bears have the remaining strength of schedule, so 8 games left, is 7-0-8. Detroit twice, Minnesota twice, Green Bay twice, San Francisco. Their easiest opponent is Seattle.
Well, and then they make the decision today. They fire basically Shane Waldron.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is funny to me. Like, I didn't think that hire made sense at the time. Like, I remember when Jackson Smith and Jigba got asked, like, hey, Shane got hired for the Bears. He's like, good luck.
It's always good.
Like, but, like, I do think they're in such a precarious spot, because you do have Caleb Williams, and I still believe in him. Like,
yeah, this whole nonsense about, like, benching him, like, what are we doing? Like, this is...
You know who honestly didn't look that bad this week, and maybe that says more about my Giants? Bryce Young, he kind of had some, like, pop again.
Yeah, he had a couple scrambles there.
He played with some confidence.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought he played pretty well.
Now, again,
and
maybe that's
and he got me. And he got me to cover town, so thank you, sir.
Hey, he won outright, baby.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
I didn't even care. Once we got to overtime, I was like, wait, you can't win by 7 in overtime. We're good.
So... this question was posed to me yesterday. If you're Ben Johnson, and whatever, we've gotten the leaked stories that he wanted the Bears job, they didn't move on from Eberflus, whatnot. Is that the job you want? Because there still is franchise dysfunction.
Do you want that job? Do you want Dallas?
No, you know what I think I actually want? If you can get Trent Baalke out of there too, if he can have the setup where Ben Johnson can bring in, like, the roster guy that he pairs well with, because I think that's successful, I kind of think I'd take a look at the Jags. Because I think Shad Khan does the stuff to win. I think he just makes bad decisions. But, like, I think he's willing to spend. I think you can talk yourself into Harbaugh going to get Herbert. Talk yourself into, now, granted, Trevor's shoulder may have something to do with it, but I kind of think the Jags is the spot that I'd like, because To me, the Bears fall into the category of it's a name brand, but it's a family that, like, all of their wealth is tied into an NFL team, and it's like, that's just never been a great recipe.
Hindsight being 2020, and if you ask anyone in Washington, Dan Quinn was their guy all along.
Yeah, of course.
If you're Ben Johnson and you're seeing how good Jaden Daniels is and how what seems to be legitimate the front office is, are you like, man, that would have been a pretty nice first gig going to Washington with Jaden Daniels and Adam Peters and an owner who's not the Antichrist? That would have been nice. But, I mean, you're also the offensive coordinator for the best team in the NFL. So,
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. When everyone keeps doing the Cowboys gig, is Jerry all of a sudden going to start spending money on coaches? Like, he's long believed that, you know.
He likes puppet coaches.
Yeah.
That's why he hired McCarthy.
Well, it's like he believes, like, you know, there's 500 guys that can coach my teams. And so, the other rumors, Deion taking the Cowboys job.
Oh, get out of here. Stop it.
Well, this is the other thing that I do find fascinating about right now. Is Deion just the coach at Colorado next year?
Well, they just flipped the USC kid, Julian Lewis, I believe is his name. I think he's the Colorado coach next year. I thought all along he wouldn't be, but is there really any... Like, what's the best job that's going to open? Is Florida deaf? Florida's not going to open, apparently. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Like, right now, is there any clear job that's going to come open? Is Arkansas going to come open? Does he want Arkansas?
You could talk me into Arkansas.
I mean, I could not... see him wanting to be in the SEC for sure, but like...
I'm still got my eye on USC, but I don't know if Deion's the USC coach.
Yeah, that's. I mean, they just went on what? Although I guess
you want to, if you want to get tinfoil Hattie, hey, he took Travis Hunter away from Florida State because he's mad at Florida State. What if he took the USC coach, the USC quarterback? Now that would be a little different situation. I think that'd be Riley trying to figure out a way out, but I don't know what that is. Like maybe, like to me, doesn't this pass the smell test? The Bears are going to go hire Cliff Kingsbury because Kingsbury's worked with Caleb.
And he's kind of revitalized himself this year.
This is my thing about Cliff. I do think he runs a good offense. I just don't think he needs to be a head coach because he falls into the same problem that Lincoln has. It's like there's two sides of the ball. But I do think he runs a good offense. And that's why I think the pairing with Dan Quinn works really well because I do think Cliff knows what he's doing on offense.
Yeah, and I think the proof's in the pudding. It's been pretty impressive, right?
Yes. Well, because that's the other thing. I know it's fun to do the, oh, Caleb's a bust. Jaden's going to be the NFL. Like it's... C.J. Stroud's kind of going through a little bit of a sophomore slump this year.
Sure is.
And like I just always think, like I always go back to, never forget, after the first year we saw Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, everybody thought Wentz was the guy. And I believe in Jaden Daniels, but like, I think it's also fair to say Jaden got put in a lot better spot than Caleb did. Now with Drake May, then that's where it really gets bad because like Drake was probably in the worst spot of all of them, and Drake looks pretty good.
But Caleb was supposed to thrive. They have Keenan Allen. They spent a first round pick on a wide receiver in.
Yeah, it turns out whenever, because everyone,
Roma Dunze.
In fairness, I don't think people overlooked this, but because people mentioned this, their offensive line was really bad, and everyone mentioned that. The problem is, it wasn't good to begin with. They've gotten injured big time, and it's just, like, I'm watching Caleb, and I'm sitting there going, like, I get why people would be, like, it's fun to kind of rip on him because of his personality, but I'm watching him going, this guy doesn't have a chance. Like, it's not even, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even fair for me to sit there and evaluate because I'm like, this isn't like realistic. Like, he is getting the snap, and there are people already on him.
One thing, Mike Sando pointed this out in his column on The Athletic about Jaden Daniels. I think that rib thing is lingering.
He does not look as nifty.
He's not running anymore. Like, Design runs first five games, 24, 28 scrambles for 52 total, 306 yards, four touchdowns. The last five games, 11 Design runs, 14 scrambles. So his rushing has been cut in half. He was completing 77% of his passes in the first five games, 101 for 131. In the last five games, 79 for 131.
I will say, I still am not sure how the Commanders lost on Sunday. Like, when they went up two scores, I was like, okay, they're going to put this to bed. And then the game just flipped. Like, that was like the classic, all right, Hanson announced that it was the witching hour, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, the Commanders can't win.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the Steelers in a teaser, so I was just like, just don't lose by 10.
Yeah, no, I did the same thing, because when they went down 10, I was like, oh my God, really? Yeah. I was like, oh God.
Really?
Oh God. Because like, then like the other two legs, that was the other thing. There's also, I never know how to feel on this, when you hit a teaser and all three went out right.
Yeah, it makes you feel a little unsatisfied. There truly is not much better feelings. And I get it. What if you hit like a 7-1 outright? Yeah, I get it. But like, there's something nerdy about gambling when you play a 6-point teaser and you need the points on both legs.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, because they're just like, man, if I just would have bet these outright, like I would have won.
Like, I know. Like, dude, I mean,
I could have had a guaranteed a winning football season.
I had a Steelers, Chargers, Eagles. I don't usually do three leg teasers, and they all covered. And I'm like, well, if I just done a three leg parlay, that would have been a massive hit. Instead, I got like +110. I'm like, that was good, but could have been better.
The other thing I was thinking about, the Dolphins are who the media was trying to insist the Jets were when the Jets got to that third win. If you look at the Dolphins' remaining strength of schedule, like the Dolphins are the three-win team that has a chance to get back in this.
They have the third easiest schedule left in the NFL. They have Green Bay, Houston, and San Francisco, but they also have the Jets twice, Patriots, Browns, and Raiders. Like, look at the AFC, man. Like, someone's that you're not anticipating is going to get into the playoffs, right? You need seven teams. And the only certainties we have in the AFC, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City, that's five.
Yes.
Chargers are 6-3, could see it. Broncos took a brutal loss. They're 5-5. The Miami Dolphins, as you alluded to, 3-6, easy schedule. And then you've got the Bengals, who are 4-6. And they've got a pretty manageable schedule remaining. They have no more games against the Ravens. They have the Steelers twice. Like, they're one of those teams, like, you want to buy into the Bengals because offensively they've got Burrow, they've got Chase, if Higgins ever comes back. Like, they've got Gesicki's been a really nice piece for them in the offense. Their defense is terrible. And they just have these moments where you're like, what the hell's wrong with you? How did you lose to the Patriots? Like, how does that happen?
I've got a big game on Sunday. It's Burrow versus Herbert on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, that's a big one for me. Because my worst nightmare is coming true, that Harbaugh is going to make Herbert. Like, he's gonna just drag him to winning. Like, the only solace I have is, like, it's more of a Harbaugh thing than it is Herbert, but that's the other thing. Herbert, begrudgingly, he's been very, very good. Also, the other good news from the NFL, the commish has decided he wants to move games to Berlin as well, so more European games. So that's awesome. Can't wait for that.
You mean Barcelona? Because weren't they just in Berlin?
No, they were in Munich. He wants to add more German games.
Oh, okay.
Yes. No, remember, we finally got even for World War II. We gave them Giants Panthers. All right, when we come back, let's take our best guess at what we think the committee's going to do tonight. We'll talk about the rankings. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Coming up tonight, in between the Champions Classic. So Michigan State and Kansas State, or beg your pardon, and Kansas, not Michigan State and Kansas State. Michigan State and Kansas will tip off 5:30 Central. If that game ends at 7:30, ESPN will go right up to the desk that they'll have set up at Madison Square Garden, or maybe they'll go back to the studio. I've seen them do both.
But I think they're there.
I've seen them do both, but I think you're right. I think usually what they've been doing is just putting the crew there. And we will get the rankings revealed. And I think if we're trying to predict, I think the top six is fairly clean. So you tell me if you agree with this. One, Oregon. Two, Ohio State. Obviously, that we'll discuss how that'll impact the seeding. Three, Texas. Four, Penn State. Five, Tennessee. Six, Indiana. Do you think that's what we'll see?
So Indiana was eight last week, if I remember correctly. So they would jump Penn State.
So last week, Indiana basically it's Miami drops below everyone, and Georgia, Miami drop, and then.
Oh, Georgia. My bad. I missed.
Yes, Georgia. Georgia drops too, and then everybody just slots up the two spots.
I wonder. I think that's the safe prediction. I wonder if they make it a little interesting and drop Penn State behind Indiana. Like, Indiana finally played a team with a relative pulse in Michigan. They didn't crush them. By the way, also one of my favorite moments of the weekend was Kirk Cignetti asking Jenny Dell, what are we, 10-0?
Yeah.
And then just going, not bad, and walking away. I wonder if they get a little bit of love and jump Penn State. No real reason. Just sometimes they get bored. But I think that's the safe route to go, Georgia and Miami obviously dropping.
Well, then I think the real question is, what do they do with BYU? Does BYU just get moved up? Because, hey, in the end.
No, I don't think so. I think Alabama jumps. They got two losses, though. I think Alabama jumps Notre Dame.
See, because I wonder, how far does Miami fall?
Far.
Below the collection of Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia.
Yes.
Okay.
They fall behind Georgia and Bama.
Because that's the other thing. It's like Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia.
Georgia was ahead of them.
I think they have to all get lumped together because they're all two lost teams in the SEC. And then I think the other two get the nod because the other two won head-to-head.
I was going to say, I think Bama jumps Notre Dame. And I think Georgia stays ahead of Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame, even though they won by 49, I think they drop to 11. I think it goes Oregon, Ohio State, Texas. It's not like Tennessee really did anything of note, though, right? They didn't even cover it.
No, but I still think their resume is better than
Texas. I don't think Penn State should be that high. But all right. So last week it went Texas, Penn State, Tennessee, 5, 6, 7. Texas won by a billion over Florida. So I think they get the bump to 3. I think I could see Tennessee jumping Penn State, but you can't really drop Penn State for comfortably beating Washington, who's not awful. I think that Georgia stays ahead of Notre Dame. I think Bama jumps Notre Dame. And I think BYU is ahead of Georgia and Bama just because of the two-loss difference.
So what do you do with Ole Miss?
So they were 16th.
Correct.
They just beat Georgia. Georgia's got two losses now. Oh, man.
That's what I'm saying. I think the collection of Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia has to get lumped together, and then I think they have
to put... Can Notre Dame drop two spots for beating Florida State by 49 points? It's possible. I mean, they're up to number 8 in the AP poll.
So my gut says they don't drop Notre Dame, but they drop BYU and Miami. I think this is where I think this is where they're going to try to avoid the scenario that happened last year. And they're going to, they kind of stated their purpose last week that we don't view the ACC and we don't view the Big 12 as the same thing.
The problem with dropping BYU, let's say, behind a Notre Dame is that they have two top 25 wins.
I understand that, but you're also functionally dropping them, but they're still going to be in the exact same spot that they would be in.
Which oh, yeah.
is they're going to wind
They'll
up.
They'll still be the four seed.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then that's the other thing. It's like Miami, even though Miami will get dropped, they'll still end up being the three seed.
Unless they drop them below SMU.
Which I don't think they will.
SMU last week was 13th. They're on a they were on a bye.
Correct. Now SMU's loss is not as you know, Georgia Tech's had injuries and whatnot, but like it's gonna be a 7-5 Georgia Tech team. But SMU loses by three to the team in BYU that's undefeated.
The Georgia loss to Ole Miss is really interesting.
Yes.
Because Georgia was three, Ole Miss was 16. They played on the field, and it was a non-competitive whooping. And they'll have the same amount of losses. You can't have Georgia ahead of Ole Miss. You can't. Then games don't matter. Like, head-to-head has to mean something, especially... We did this forever. What was that nauseating year when, like, Cannell kept losing his mind with Penn State with two losses and Ohio State being ahead of him?
That was like 2016.
And it was like, the difference is Ohio State has one loss, Penn State has two losses. But when they have the same amount of losses, and I get it, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky, but they played this week... One team won convincingly. You have to have Ole Miss ahead of Georgia. You have to.
I suspect that's what they're going to do.
So, well, like, I think it might go Bama 10, Ole Miss. But then Bama, then you get all knots because, no, Bama beat Georgia too. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
It's going to go Bama. I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame got jumped by all of them, but I think they might play it safe and go Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Tennessee, Indiana, BYU, no changes. They inch up Notre Dame, and then it goes Bama 10, Ole Miss 11, Georgia 12, which would be a massive drop. That'd be a 9-spot drop. Then I think it's Miami, and then I think you kind of fill in the rest after that.
So this is what Heather Dinich has over at ESPN. So one seed Oregon, 2 seed Texas, 3 seed BYU, 4 seed Miami.
So I have a
yep.
We mentioned this last week. Just give us the rankings first and then do the bracket second. They're not gonna do it.
They're gonna do exactly what they did last week.
And it's dumb because it's confusing. Just give us the rankings. These are the rankings. And remember, folks, the top four conference champs gets byes. So let's take a look at what the bracket would look like. It gets very confusing when Miami comes in at four when they're going to be 12th.
Correct. And what she has, though, is she has the scenario where Bama's at 10, Georgia's at 11, and then Ole Miss would be the first team out. Now, granted, Georgia and Tennessee play this week, and so...
Yeah, it'll work itself out.
But I just think you're going to have a tough time ranking. When they have the exact same record, I think it's going to be a tough time arguing. Like, in the end, Georgia's best wins are Texas and Clemson, and I think that's going to end up being pretty similar to having your best two wins being Georgia and South Carolina. Like, we are in a situation where that Clemson-South Carolina game might determine, like, that Clemson-South Carolina game might determine, like, a razor-thin who gets the last SEC bid.
South Carolina has to be ranked this week, right?
I would think they are.
Yeah. Like, Louisville was that magical, hey, Louisville's in there. Remember, Miami, Notre Dame, they all beat Louisville. I think South Carolina gets in there, and to your point, I think that really helps out Ole Miss, or... Ole Miss's two best wins, boy, that's pretty impressive. Blowing out Georgia, blowing out South Carolina. I think, I don't know what they do with Notre Dame. I could see them moving them back two spots. I don't think they'll do that, but I could. I wouldn't be surprised. But I think it, my order of the three would go, I think it goes like the AP poll. I think it goes Bama, Ole Miss, Georgia.
I think that's what they're going to do too.
But that's a 9-spot drop. That's wild. That is wild for a team that has a win over Texas, who will be probably three, and a dominant win at that on the road. Like, Georgia has, based off of the committee, the second best win out there. The only one being better is Oregon beating Ohio State.
I wonder if they get cute and do something like, and then they announced last week they're putting Texas ahead, but it's like, I do think Tennessee's resume looks better than, I think Tennessee's resume looks better than Texas's, but I do.
Dude, I don't, I mean, look, I don't get I don't get Texas, I don't get Penn State. Like, I don't get either one. Based off of what they've done this year. Well, Texas has one, zero.
One beat Michigan and the other beat Penn the other beat USC.
Yeah, they combined, Penn State and Texas combined, zero top 25 wins. Think about that, zero. And they're going to be 3-4 with one loss.
Oh, it's best. I can feel everybody getting pre-mad. It's going to be the best.
Indiana's, you know, they got zero losses.
And they're one of two teams that are 10-0. All right, let's
see. One of three, right? Army's undefeated, or they're 9-0.
Army, I thought was 9-0. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Let's go to LeBron James. Just woke up from a dream. I was playing for Duke and Coach K inside Cameron Indoor Stadium. It was insane in there. Told Coach K it was such an honor to suit up for him, and he said the same thing back to me. He's such a legend. Then it turned right into a concert. Snoop and Dre were the performers, and they were doing the song the next episode. The roof inside Cameron damn near came off. Ha ha. Then my emoji alarm went off, and I woke up. LeBron's trying to get Coach K to coach, and not JJ, right?
Already planting the seeds? I think JJ might not suck as a coach.
I think he might not suck, but I can also I'm also right back where I was. Like, this is, I don't understand taking this job. Like, you know you're gonna have to deal with this.
By the way, LeBron has had back to back triple doubles.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, when he was here last week, it was insane. Like, the rest of the Lakers sucked. He was awesome.
39 against the Memphis.
It was insane. All right, buddy. Next time I'll be talking to you, it'll be Friday from the road, but I look forward to a football Friday.
Yeah, fun one tonight, by the way. Enjoy the college hoops. Michigan State, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky. Should be fun.
Of course, that is the Champions Classic. You can watch that on ESPN. In between those two games, we will get the playoff rankings. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.